We are going to discuss classification and measurements, and Hannah, are you going to tee off?
I think you just himself.
Okay, it's your first presence here at the board meeting.
Okay.
Julia.
Thank you, Hans. I just wanted to say a few general words as an introduction. So at this meeting, the staff will ask the board to consider fair value option for financial assets measured at fair values of other comprehensive income. This way, we will consider the interaction between account for financial assets and insurance contracts liabilities. The staff plan to bring a paper that considers that interaction, as well as various issues and alternatives faced in common clients and outreach activities in January. Also in January, the staff plan to bring papers that discuss transition and disclosure methods. The staff expects that those discussions will complete the ISB re-deliberations of the proposals in the limited amendments exposure draft. And the staff anticipates that the final standard will be issued in the first half of 2014. The FASB are continuing their re-deliberations of the standard specification and measurement model for financial instruments. Specifically, we understand that the FASB will meet later this month to further talk about the solvency of classifying financial assets. So before we turn to fair value option paper, do you have any questions on the project overall and next steps?
No.
Okay, I'll leave it to me. First of all, I just want to say that it's a great pleasure to join the staff at the ISB, and I'm looking forward to working with you all. As Julia mentioned, we're looking at the fair value option for financial assets, which is set out in Agenda Paper 6A. The current fair value option in IFRS 9 permits entities to designate financial assets that would otherwise be recognised at amortised cost as measured at fair value through profit or loss, but only if such a designation eliminates or significantly reduces a measurement or recognition inconsistency, which is often known as an accounting mismatch. Such a designation is performed at initial recognition and is irrevocable. In the limited amendments exposure draft, the ISB proposed extending this fair value option so that it's also available for financial assets that would otherwise be measured at fair value through OCI. Most respondents to the ED supported this proposal and agreed that it's consistent with the underlying rationale for the current fair value option. For this and the reasons I've set out in paragraphs 22 to 25 in the paper, the staff recommend that the board confirms the proposal in the exposure draft. This would mean that an entity may designate a financial asset that would otherwise be measured at fair value through OCI as measured at fair value through P&L, if doing so would eliminate or significantly reduce an accounting mismatch. And consistent with the current fair value option in IFRS 9, that designation would be performed at initial recognition and would also be irrevocable. Do you agree with the staff recommendation?
I have a question. Generally speaking, I don't object to the staff's recommendation, but I'm just curious whether or not you've analyzed what the potential benefits or disadvantages might be of taking the FASB's approach here and making it unrestricted. So if an entity wanted to use the fair value measurement attribute, they could. They don't have to have necessarily a mismatch or accounting mismatch that they're looking to eliminate. And the reason why I bring this up is because we're taking this decision in advance of deliberating the implications for, you know, the insurance contracts model. And I, like I said, I can't foresee right now any reason why this would be a problem, depending on actually any number of ways we might go in that project. But what's the disadvantage of making it unrestricted?
I mean, I think one of the disadvantages is that if you have it unrestricted, you would end up, in a way, going against the grain of the whole business model idea and having three or two distinct fair business models and the fair values of the profit and loss category. Because effectively you would be giving entities carte blanche for just treating everything as fair value through profit or loss. So I think ultimately it comes down to the underlying model that we're trying to achieve in IFRS 9.
Would it be more palatable if it was irrevocable and unrestricted? So you know, you just classify it once.
Gives a bit more discipline.
I think you still have the same
issues. I
would agree completely with Hannah's technical assessment, but I think also if you step back and look at the sort of starting position we took with IFRS 9, that was sort of trying to align with the board at the time decided not to propose an unrestricted option because of the background to the current restrictions in IAS 39, where I think originally the proposal of the previous board had been that it would be unrestricted and many requested that there should be criteria to constrain them, if I can put it that way. So I think it was the broader background.
I agree. I think it's a bit inconsistent in principle to say this asset is not managed on a fair value basis. This is why normally it goes to the CI. But at the same time, without any reason, without any justification, I want to have it at fair value P&L. It's inconsistent. I mean, you accept that the fair value option is fine because there is a mismatch caused by the necessity to put it in OCI. So I agree with the staff proposal. I would like, if you can help me find out what practical situations would be addressed besides the hedging situation where you have a derivative on that instrument and you don't want to do hedge accounting, so you have a derivative at fair value and you find it easier to then avoid a mismatch by putting this other item at the fair value P&L. But beyond that, is there any other situations? And forget the insurance topics for a moment. What other situations in practice could we find out where you have such a...
At the moment on device 39, the accounting mismatch is used for examples where you have an economic hedge, say for credit, using credit derivatives for credit, which can't be coped within the standard for hedging.
With IFRS 9, with the extension of the hedge accounting, do we still have the same scope of application?
Yes, because we don't allow credit hedging, and there's a specific fair value option for credit.
It's also been used in other examples where there might be a mismatch with non-financial instruments as well.
We go.
I have a question in about the unit count. You know, the OCI itself, we say management, you know, the decision is high level, not the instruments level. And let's assume you know, the company decide to choose OCI for 100 contract, then we said here irrevocable whether you again you know designate a fair value option to be the same coverage or maybe part of it.
It's by asset.
By asset.
The election by asset. So it's by individual instrument.
By individual instruments. Okay, okay. Can I ask a question back to Pat? That when you say that whether we should have a free, you know, the
unrestricted, right?
Yes. And whether in your mind you also want to change 9 on amortized cost category?
No, I wasn't suggesting that.
Only this one?
Correct. I mean, if you gave me a blank sheet of paper,
I know what I would do.
Steve?
Just on this unrestricted, to what extent do you think that the managed and performance evaluated on a fair value basis part of the standard gives an effective free option anyway?
This is a trick
question. Yeah. I'm just questioning whether this is necessary, given that you can, it seems to me that you can easily get whatever you like into fair value P&L.
Obviously, we don't think that you can just assert what your business model is or assert that you're managing on a fair value basis, so at least in structure. The idea is that it's a matter of fact what your business model is and whether or not you're managing on a fair value basis, so it's different.
Okay, so this is on top of what's already there.
Mary?
I just, on this issue of looking back at IAS 39 and the basis for conclusions there, I think in the section that discusses the fair value option and the reason that the board put conclusions in there, there's some very helpful language, and rather than relying on the memory of people that the reasons are back in the previous document, it might make sense to pick up some of these and perhaps even think about it from a due process perspective, whether you formally have to ask that board if they want to reaffirm the reasoning, or it's just saying, as the board had relatively recently deliberated and concluded in 39, just picking out the pieces that are relevant from the IAS 39 basis, so that we explain why we are keeping it rather than relying on something that will disappear.
Yeah, this is frowning, which worries me a little bit, but I would have thought that if at a minimum we noted why it had been restricted in the first place, that at least reminds people, and it's in the IFRS 9 document. Is that fairness?
The only reason I'm frowning, actually, and I didn't realize I was frowning, I should pay more attention, but I think it's already in IFRS 9, so I don't have the red book basis in front of me, but I think when we brought over the basis, we brought over those paragraphs, so I'm hoping that it's already there.
I guess I'm just in much the same camp as Pat. So I don't object to this because it extends, but I'd still like to look at unrestricted, and I want to really think about the insurance one when we get to that. Okay. I think that means that we can support staff recommendation.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
I've seen Marielle for a long time.
I don't think it's a purpose.
No, I'm not sure.